And thank you for coming tonight. Most of you have been here every service, and we appreciate you coming, and we pray the Lord's going to bless you again tonight as he has in previous nights. Something that Brother Patrick said last night, I've been thinking, you know, churches have reputations. Some of them are good reputations. You know, certain churches I know, mission churches, they're doing missions locally and around the world all the time. They're mission churches. Certain churches don't have such good reputations. I'm thinking of a guy that told me, he says, you know, said, in 20 years I've been a member of this church, we've run off 400 people. Not a good reputation. When I was in Chatham County at Brush Creek, there was a neighboring church that in the 13 years I was there, they had 9 pastors. Some of them came and went so fast, I didn't even get a chance to meet them. You know, so they didn't have a good reputation. And several years later, I was up at the Baptist State Convention, and I walked up, and the guy had a badge, you know, Pastor so-and-so, and it was that church. And I said, oh, he'd been there about 3 or 4 months, and he was on cloud 9. I thought, well, I sure hope a few months from now, you're still going to be on cloud 9. But something Patrick said last night, when he went to Moon's Chapel, he told them, other churches may have more money or more people, but let's outlove them. There's a little chorus, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Let's make that our goal, that we so love this community that people in the community will say, there's a church that's full of the love of Jesus. Before Brother Patrick comes, let's pray. Father, fill us with your love that we might love others. Father, we know some of them are easy to love and some of them are okay to love and some of them are hard to love. But Lord, we know that through the love that you pour into us, we can love. And tonight, Father, we pray once again that your anointing will be upon Patrick. And not only would he have an anointed message, but may we have anointed ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to our hearts and to our church. You're so welcome, and we invite your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor, for that wonderful word. And I brought my water with me tonight because about midday today, I began to develop a cold, and everybody in my house has had the flu but me. And I feel like it's probably on its way. But anyway, I hope I don't have to use this. But if I do, you will know why. This morning, when I left home at 4 o'clock, I walked outside, and my front yard was white. There was snow everywhere, and it was coming down. And as it was coming down, I was reminded that Jesus allows the Christian to be seen by the Father as if they are white as snow. When we die and when we go to heaven, the Father is not going to see our sin. The Father is not going to see our trials. The Father is not going to see all of our mistakes. The Father is going to see us as if we are white as snow. So I want to talk to you tonight about living your life for God's glory as the Father sees you as if you are white as snow. Would you take your Bible tonight and turn with me to the book of 1 Peter? And in the book of 1 Peter, I'd like us to look tonight at chapter 4, verse 7 through verse number 9. And as you read along, I'm going to read aloud, quoting the Word of God from 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse number 7. The Word of God says this, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." A few moments ago, you sang a song, "Love Lifted Me," a song that gives us the theology of God's love and how that love leads us to live in a relationship toward the glory of Almighty God. Friends, if we're going to be God's people, if we're going to live under the banner of God's gospel, if we're going to promote God's truth, we must be men and women that seek to bring God glory. Amen? That should be our desire. That should be our goal. That should be our purpose. And that should be our pleasure every single day that we live. So tonight, I want you and I to look together at several ways we can bring God glory. First, we bring God glory by way of living a Christian life in such a fashion that we are serious about the things of God. Look at what the Word of God says. It says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious." Friends, church is not a joke. The Bible is not just a book. The Word of God is our direction. It is our guide. It is our hope. And it brings us to a place of ultimate joy. So we need to be serious. But not only are we called by God to be serious, but second, we are to be a people of prayer, people that are watchful in our prayers, allowing prayer to consume us and control us, that we may be people that understand that there is power when we pray. Friends, when you pray, there is power. When you pray, heaven comes down. When you pray, miracles take place. When you pray, deliverance comes about. The Word of God says right here that we are to be watchful in our prayers. A moment ago, many of you shared about requests and people that have deep needs in your community. And the reason you do that is because God has called us to be a people of prayer. Who in here tonight knows that prayer makes all the difference in the world? Prayer makes the difference in your family. Prayer makes the difference in your home. Prayer makes the difference in your church. Prayer makes all the difference in the world. So if we're going to be people of God's glory, serving the Lord, seeking to bring Him honor and glory in all that we are and all that we do, we must be serious about the things of God. But we also must be watchful in our prayers. But look with me at verse 8. I want you to notice a third thing that the Word of God teaches us that we are to do if we're going to bring God ultimate glory and praise through our lives and through our gifts of service. The Word of God says in verse 8, and above all things, have fervent love. Do you know what the word fervent means? It means a heartfelt love. It means a love that goes beyond everything. A love that pays the price. A love that counts the cost. A love that is authentic. A love that is genuine. A love that is real. I was blessed tonight before church to be able to go and sit at the dinner table in the home of your interim pastor. What a blessing. And as we sat there tonight and as we ate the wonderful meal that Miss Pam prepared, the conversation was about their grandchildren. Who in here is a grandparent? If you're a grandparent, the love you have for your grandchildren is a real, genuine, authentic love. My daddy told me before he died, he said, I loved you, but I really loved them. And it amazed me, we never had a four-wheeler, but my children got one. We never had cable, but after we left and went to college, when grandchildren came, cable came. I said, what is this about? You see, a grandparent has a love that goes beyond anything for that grandchild. And that is what verse 8 is speaking about here. It says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. Do you love your church? Do you love the people within the walls of this church tonight? Do you love your community? Do you love your neighborhood? When one hurts, do all hurt. When one rejoices, do all rejoice. When one is in need, do all rally to help them overcome their trial or their tribulation. You see, as the Word of God speaks to us about a fervent love, we must have a love that runs toward Calvary, a love that modifies the way of the world and models the way of the cross. You see, church, we need to be serious. We need to be prayerful, but we need to have a fervent love that allows us to show we are real. You see, the world says that the church is filled with hypocrites. And the truth is, they are right. I'm one and you're one because we were born as sinners. But praise God, we have a relationship with a Savior that brought us to a place where blood could cover that sin, where blood could overcome that iniquity, where blood could lead us beyond our transgression so that we could experience His fervent love. Just as Jesus has given you a fervent love, just as Jesus has poured the blood of the Lamb of God over your soul, over all of your sin and all of your transgression, may you and I model that with our children and our grandchildren, with those we work with and those we go to church with, so that we can bring God ultimate glory. You see, if we're going to glorify God, it's not about the preference of the music. It's not about the style of the sermon. It's not about the eloquence of the building. It's not about geography or location. It's not about those things that are material or monetary. It is about bringing our God ultimate glory. And we do that when we get serious about the things of God. We do that when we are watchful in our prayer life toward the kingdom of God, thinking about and interceding on behalf of every single person that we know that has desperate needs that need to be lifted to the throne of grace. And after we are serious about the things of God, after we are watchful in our prayer life, then we are able to model a fervent love. But oh, it does not end there. I want you to look at the end of verse 8. The word of God says, for love will cover a multitude of sins. So after we are serious about the things of God, and after we spend time praying for the people of God, and after we express and model a genuine love that the world will see that is different, that is authentic, and that is real, then we must remove our personal judgment. We must remove our judgment. Are you a judgmental person? Do you ever judge anybody? Do you ever talk about anybody? Do you ever roll your eyes at anybody? You see, if we're very honest, we are people with a wall of judgment built in front of our souls. And the word of God says, love will cover a multitude of sins. We have no right to judge anyone else, because in God's eyes, all sin is equal. So if we are going to bring God glory, we must ask God to bring down the barriers and that wall of hatred that so many Christians in this nation and around the world have. Because that wall is what hinders the world from coming to Jesus. You see, friends, we need to be serious. We need to be a people of prayer. We need to have a fervent love. We need that wall of judgment to come down. But then finally, we must be hospitable. Look at what the word of God says in verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. That is hard to do, isn't it? It is hard to be hospitable, but it's free. It doesn't cost you a dime to shake the hand of a visitor that walks in the door of this church on a Sunday morning. It doesn't cost you anything to open your home for people to come and pray. You see, God wants you and I to open our hearts and allow genuine hospitality to take over through our lives. And if we will be serious, if we will get busy praying, if we will run after a fervent love toward the cross, if we will allow the wall of judgment to fall down in front of our souls, and if we will open our hearts and use our hands and allow our heads to be molded into the image of God, hospitality will be married to all of the gifts that God has given us that we may bring Him glory. And at the end of the day, that is what God wants from you. That is what God wants from your family. That is what God wants from this church. That at the end of the day, every Sunday, you would be able to say at Barbie's Grove Baptist Church, we have brought our God glory. Every night when you lay your head on your pillow, for you to be able to say, in this home, we have served the Lord. In this home, we have sought to bring God the glory. So as we close tonight, I want to ask you this. In your life, what is it that causes you to seek self-glory? What do you need to forsake? And what do you need to give up by way of pride? So it's all about Him and not about you. The Bible says we need to decrease and He must increase. And that is the key to bringing God glory. So will you join me tonight in asking God, Lord, help me bring you glory in every area of my life. Would you pray with me tonight? Father, I thank you for our dear friends at Barbie's Grove. Lord, I pray tonight that we would take your word very serious. And Lord, that we would be people that are serious about the kingdom and the things of Almighty God. Father, I pray tonight that we would get busy praying for other people in our midst and in our circle of relationships. Oh God, tonight I pray that we would have such a love that is filled with fire and fervency, that love covers a multitude of sin. Oh God, tonight I pray that the wall of judgment would fall from our souls, that we may be able to use our hearts, our hands, and our heads to be hospitable toward others that do not know you. Oh Lord, let it be said of this church and of every family that is represented here tonight, that our goal is to bring you glory. Lord, let it begin with me. And let it spread through this congregation. That it would not be about us. It would not be about talent. It would not be about tradition. But it would be about you. And Lord, I pray that as we seek to give you glory, you would bring the anointing drops of your unction and pour them all over this ministry so that everybody here would be able to say, no man could have done that. It is because we have sought to bring God glory. Lord, do it tonight. Let it begin. Because we know that is the prelude to true revival. In your name we pray. Amen. If we're very honest, the truth is, we all have areas in our lives that we don't bring God glory with, but we need to. I asked my children the last day of the year, right before we began 2018, to make a New Year's goal that would help them bring God glory. And my young son, Paul, made it his goal to make his bed every morning before he goes to school. And he told a few folks about that. And they laughed at him. And he came home and he said, Daddy, my friends laughed at me because I told them my goal for 2018 was to make my bed. And I said, son, that goal is good. That goal is important. That goal is a goal that leads you to bring God glory, because God likes everything in order. In his little mind, it was making his bed. Tonight, it may be that you're not having a quiet time. It may be that you're not tithing 10% of your income back to the local church. It may be that you're not faithful in your attendance. It may be that you're not praying like you should be praying. It may be that you have a judgmental spirit toward other people. Whatever it is, don't you leave here tonight until you lay it down and say, God, I realize I cannot bring you glory until I allow you to move my heart. Let him move your heart tonight. Let's stand together as we sing.